Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. It's Friday. Love Friday. John and Lance along with Dell. What's going on, boys? What'd you do last night? Did you watch the president? President was on just a short time. He just had a really short speech. And it was...
That doesn't sound accurate.
It was... That sucker was long. But it was... I'm sure you all, everyone was glued to the television to watch our president. And everything that he had to say about our country and how great it is. And how great it's going to be.
I had the worst shoulder day that I have had since I separated it.
Really?
It's getting worse and worse. And I went to Danny Arnold.
You went to Danny's?
Yeah. And they told me.
And you worked it out. And it hurt.
No. That's not what it is. April goes, she read my MRI. She goes, yeah, you shouldn't have been. She goes, when were you out of your sling? I said, I don't know, like day five. She goes, yeah, that wasn't the move. She said, you have a couple fractures in your socket. She said, that has to heal. Like, you didn't ever let your fractures heal. She said, I'm basically like, it's my shoulder right now is like 1 week out from injury is what the equivalent is. She goes, I said, so I shouldn't have been. Yeah. All that range of motion stuff you were trying to do by yourself. That was a terrible idea.
Gee. You remember when we said maybe you should keep your arm in a sling?
Yeah. But
and
the
he
sling
was like,
wasn't,
nah, yeah, no, it hurts. No, I won't do it.
Yeah. Well,
and then you actually talked to a medical professional, and they told you, hey, don't do that. Keep your arm in a sling.
Yeah, and she can't even do, like, the regular PT stuff. She goes, yeah, your shoulder right now is so tender that, like, not, she had to hold my arm to move it around. It was, yeah.
No.
And then I was still in so much pain, I had to eat a Vicodin just at night.
Well, nice.
And then I was like, hey, that felt.
How many did you get of those?
I had one, and it.
Oh.
And it felt great.
How many did you get? You got a whole bottle?
Yeah.
You do? Those are good.
I had a whole bottle.
Those are fun. Dell, you want any?
Yeah, they're fun until you get.
Well, if you're hurt, then it's not that much fun.
I might get in as a.
Unless you get an addiction to them.
A sleeping pill, knock me right out. I don't have pain, but if you want to give me something so I can go right to sleep, I'll take
melatonin. People don't know that melatonin is awesome.
I've tried melatonin. It doesn't work for me.
Eat more.
What? Wow.
Overdose on melatonin?
OD. You're not going to. Is that what you're thinking?
You're not going to. Eat a couple of the gummies. They have gummy melatonins that you can get like at a Walgreens or whatever. They're like 5 milligrams a piece. Eat two. You'll be good.
I took
a melatonin pen. This guy Ashton, who reached out to me, he's a draftnik who also runs one of the IV spots. And he gave me a pen, a melatonin pen that you can inhale because he said you get more of it that way.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, man, that's a good – I'll take one of that
right
and
sleep.
One of the gummies and I can go right to sleep. I mean, right to sleep. All I want to do is give myself about 30 minutes and then turn on TV. Are you one of those people when if you watch TV at certain times, you'll
– That's it.
And you try to rewind
You mean
TV.
Every night?
Yeah. I can't – man. I rewind it. I had to do a sleep study because they think I'm getting some stuff checked out. And imagine this. After 23 years of doing morning radio, they're like, yeah, we think you may be impacted by a sleep deprivation. Do you take naps? Nope. Like probably 4 naps in 23 years. Yeah.
What naps time are do you go great. To sleep? That's dumb.
After 11
so you look
pretty
at
much
Del.
Every night.
No sleep deprivation over there.
No, take a nap.
Checking
yeah,
out.
They she said, yeah, I think you've done some serious damage from not sleeping for
really?
23 years.
Yeah.
I'm like,
pretty simple,
yeah, it's
Lance.
Just, it's all going downhill.
Yeah.
No shoulder, bad knee, bad foot.
Bad brain.
Well, that's
all.
Been the case for a while.
Well,
yeah. Deprivation. Maybe if you slept more, you would remember to bring your key card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing. Oh, and I'm forgetful. That's a
oh,
nice one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hey, Dell. Ding, ding. Here's some breaking news.
Yeah, apparently I can be a doctor too because I could have diagnosed him with that. He's forgetful.
He's forgetful. Lance, you did all that for them to tell you you were forgetful?
No, I'm saying that. I'm saying I lost all this stuff. No. I had to get an EEG, which was that wasn't the best time ever. And yeah, I got to do all this stuff. Sleep test. They're like, yeah, we think a big problem that you're having right now is you get a lot of interrupted sleep. You don't get much sleep, and when you do, it's interrupted. So you're getting like 3 good hours of sleep a night. Pretty much nobody's going to be able to be highly functional on 3 hours of sleep. I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but caffeine. Yeah. Yeah, that's just keeping you They're like, caffeine's making you functional. If you didn't have caffeine, look at you. Look at you now. I'm EEG test. She's like, open your eyes. All right, close your eyes. Now open your eyes. Now close your eyes. Now open your eyes. Now open. Open. She goes, yeah, Mr. Sterling, you're falling asleep. Oh. Because I couldn't take caffeine that day before the test.
Well,
I didn't take caffeine. I thought I was going to die. I was barely able to drive without crashing down the road because I'm so sleepy.
That is horrible.
No, I have to have caffeine. I take it 7 days a week.
Wow.
Or I get headaches. And fall asleep, apparently.
I'm looking at a final night review. President Trump delivers Biden-bashing very long 70-minute speech on White House lawn. There were like 2,000 people there.
Very long. Longest speech.
It was the greatest, longest speech ever. I'm sure it'll be the highest-rated 70-minute speech ever. Huh?
Did anybody leave to beat the traffic?
No, but nobody was wearing masks. I want to see with the results of how many people have end up with COVID.
You think they were tested?
No, they weren't. At least a media member says... I didn't get tested. Just let me walk in. Now she was wearing a mask, but they didn't. I don't think they were testing people.
They offered masks to everybody, and like very few used them.
Why would they wear them when they're being told it's not that big of a deal?
Yeah. Well, apparently it's not that big a deal.
And the chairs were all close together.
Yeah. Mm. Pretty much. If it comes out, you know, and a bunch of people come out of that thing with COVID, that's not good, Prez. Come on, let's pick it up. Let's pick up the speech. It's a little long, Prez.
And not only were...
Yeah, I think we can cut this. No,
not only were
you can't cut.
There are no places to cut.
No.
Not only were you not wearing masks, we're going to keep you within 6 feet of everyone for 70 minutes and see how it goes for you. Let's see what happens.
Man, we got to pick up the speech. We got to get it a little quicker. Let's go. Texan scrimmage last night.
Mm-hmm.
News and notes, they look pretty good.
Did you see it?
I did not see it. No one saw it. No, I did not see it. But guys looked...
it available on the website at all?
No, I don't believe you.
I don't think so.
No, they had... The Saints at few got to watch. By that, I mean people close to the family, like, you know, 6'10 employees. They got to watch. That's about it, really.
That's about it. And from what we saw, I mean, I keep seeing John Reed, Jacob Martin, A.J. Moore. I don't know why, but the media, whoever,
well,
John McClain. They keep asking about A.J. Moore.
What do you think about what's John Reed doing? Like,
Well, who's standing out? And they continue to say John Reed.
John Reed, you know, it's weird because I wrote John Reed up, it didn't have it much buzz. And then on tape, like, he's actually got really quick feet. He's not the biggest guy, but he can stay connected with routes. It's just the deeper down the field it goes, the more he gets in trouble. And I know he ran pretty well did he have a pro day? Yeah, there's something because I know he had a good workout. Maybe he went to the combine. I think he went to the combine, yeah. But he's got good feet, good short area feet. He can mirror and match routes, meaning, you know, you can play off and when the route's going, he can backpedal and then match the routes from a backpedal. And he's twitchy, so when the route breaks off, he can plant a foot quick and, you know, click and close. You know, it's just that as the ball got down the field, as the route got down the field, sometimes he'd get a little bit lost. Not really lost, he'd just start to get beat. So I actually think, like, I liked him better than other people did. I actually kind of liked him. And I could see him being, you know, a slot corner. I think that there's some matchups that won't go great for him, but based on what the Texans already have,
well,
I think there's a chance
in a corner poor team.
He's going to make a team.
He's going to not only make the team, he'll be on the field this year.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that. Yeah. I think he will see the team. You know, I just wish I was out there seeing all these practices because I'd heard the buzz that the Texans, there's a little buzz going around that they're not a fan of Lonnie Johnson. And I think that's I think maybe Bill O'Brien was not happy with Brian Gain because of that. Like they thought after year one, this isn't good. Like maybe they already had early thoughts. Now on tape, Lonnie had some real issues playing the football, but he's big, he's strong, he had a good Senior Bowl. And now, you know, the thought is they're going to give him time at safety, and maybe safety will be the position.
We keep hearing that.
And I think that is,
he looks like a safety.
Yeah, I think that ultimately could be the position for him. And I think if you give him some time and you don't ask him to play man-to-man press, because I know he looks like a man-to-man press corner, but I just don't think in reality he has he doesn't find the football and have those ball skills. But that's going to be so critical. They were so bad. Just looking over all their pass defense stuff, I mean, they've got to get better this year. They've just got to get better on the back end. And it's just the same guys for the most part. So I'm not really sure how that's going to happen unless the same guys get better. And we're talking about Conley. We're talking about now Roby, I like Lonnie Johnson, AJ. You now have John Reed. You got Justin.
Eric Murray.
Eric Murray. Yeah, I mean, you have added some guys. See, I would love to be out there seeing how they're using Eric Murray because he came out as a corner, and then they used him as a safety, Kansas City. I'd be really interested to see how they're using him on a full-time basis. Like, are they playing him in the slot, big nickel? You know, the things that I'd usually get to see, I can't see. I don't know what they're doing. So it's like, I'm in the dark and I almost want to just stay in the dark until not even look into it until the first game and just see what's up because, you know, there's no preseason. I do miss preseason games. I actually do miss them because the stuff I like seeing for roster building stuff, you know, I like looking at, I'm not just focusing on the stars. I've always liked focusing on what does a roster look like? No idea now. No idea other than what it looked like last year and my preconceived notions about players coming out of the draft and then players that I've saw Eric Murray limited time in Kansas City and pre-draft. So I don't know. I'm in the middle of doing my – I thought about Deshaun Watson yesterday. I'm in the middle of doing my – we have to do our predictions for the NFL season and had to do NFL MVP. And I said, you know, who is it that's going to come out of nowhere? And
where's the Thunder Six?
I thought about Deshaun. I thought about him. But then I just don't think it's going to get there.
No thunder sticks there.
You know who I think I'm going to do is I went Pat Mahomes. I almost went Russell Wilson. It's time for Russ, isn't it? He's never won one. His numbers have been terrific. He's never won an MVP. I think he's going to be one of those guys who ends up having a really great career, turns into a Hall of Fame career, and he will never win an MVP because Pat Mahomes and Lamar Jackson are going to gobble up stats. And I just don't think you've had, you know, Tom Brady, Drew Brees. He's going to be a crossover talent who played with Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees in their primes.
And then Pat Mahomes.
And then
and
roll
Kyler
into Pat Mahomes.
And Lamar.
Lamar and Deshaun Watson and, of course, the great Baker Mayfield. So it's going to be really tough for him.
I could see that. I think Pat Mahomes might fall off this year. Just a hair.
I put him at MVP because I just chickened out. But then I made Offensive Player of the Year Josh Jacobs from the Raiders, which is my kind of a surprise pick, I think.
That is a rather surprise pick.
Because I looked at MVPs. It's almost always quarterbacks now. I mean, it's gotten to the point where it's just going to be quarterbacks. But Offensive Player of the Year, sometimes they'll jump out, and Todd Gurley won it just a few years back. They'll give Offensive Player of the Year to running backs.
Chubb could win it. Derrick Henry could win it.
Chubb had a big season. Yeah, Chubb could, but they got a decent offensive line in Las Vegas, and it feels weird saying that. And Josh Jacobs, usually running backs are at their very best the first 3 or 4 years. That's when they go off.
All right, you know who's at his very best every day? It's John Clay Wolf, and he's joining us right now on ESPN.
Are they called the Wolf Pack on the other side? Those two guys who are there, are they called Wolf Pack?
Yeah, it's the Wolf Pack. It's the John Clay Wolf Pack. And that's the name of the show, and you'll hear it tomorrow morning.
I saw them in there shooting dice, John. They were shooting, dice and playing dice back there for money. I just wanted you to know.
Yeah, the guys here in our office here. They're the Wolf Pack.
Shooting dice?
Yeah, they were shooting dice. They had some.
He's joking.
If y'all could see what I'm looking at right now, you'd laugh with me. It's my birthday.
Oh! Happy birthday, John Clay. Well, you breathed another year. How about that? Congratulations.
I know. And we're sitting at breakfast with my family, and we've all got on sombreros and mustaches and Mexican mariachi music playing and having a Mexican fiesta birthday party for Dad.
Well, isn't that – that's totally sweet. I would have never dreamt that, but okay.
I know. Yeah, but you'd have to really do some heavy acid to dream that.
Yeah. John Clay Wolf birthday breakfast. That is awesome, dude.
And mariachi fiesta birthday breakfast.
Yeah. Well, you can, okay.
Right here on the John Granato show.
Yeah, right here. That is different than I thought it would
bring
be.
Bring taquitos to John and Lance right now so they can celebrate my birthday.
So is it,
Uber Eats, so are we Uber Eats have, is open?
We're going to have a Mexican theme to tomorrow's show? Is that
I
what we're doing?
No, I think we should keep it rolling. Tomorrow's show is the birthday show.
Yeah, it's the birthday, the John Clay Wolf birthday show. So you got to listen in, and you'll hear a lot of stuff that you normally would not hear on a radio show.
And if you have Mexican friends, please invite them because we need to meet them all.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There you go. So the saga continues. I went to the DMV to get the title, and they said, "Oh, we don't." I'd made an appointment, waited in line. And we don't do that here. You have to go to the tax office. Yeah. And now I got to make an appointment at the tax office. And that's impossible because they've been closed because of a hurricane that never showed up here. So that's my life right now. That's my life. Yep. Yep. And that next is the credit union that I borrowed from is going to get, I'm going to get in their ass. That's what's going to happen.
Yes, chorizo and tortilla chip. Please. Thank you. All right. Well, y'all have fun.
All right. Happy birthday, John Clay Wolf.
Thanks.
All right. Feliz Navidad.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 7:19 ESPN 97.5. How about this? Brian McTaggart just tweeted this out. A week from tonight, the Astros will have 6 home games left in the season.
Isn't that crazy?
That is so unbelievable. I mean, they have had a rough road. Now, they've got the A's in town now.
Who knew 60 games could go so fast?
I know, right?
That seems insane. Why does this seem so much faster than basketball? Well, because you don't have the time.
Normally,
obviously.
Normally, this is, you know, 3/5 of a season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 2/5 of a season. So this is really, really fast. it's just unbelievable how quickly it's going. And now the Astros are going to get in. There's no question about that. But they won't have home field advantage. This is a big series against the A's. You've got 4 more games against them, and they're all in Oakland, which sucks. You play 7. I don't know why they did that. Why wouldn't they have the A's travel here again for 2 instead of giving them 7 home games and the Astros just 3 in this series?
Right.
I think that's stupid. Every team in your division, you should play 5 home and 5 away. That's the way it should be set up. and you do a 3-game series and a 2-game series. And that's all. And that just, to me, is just unbelievable. Because they could have done that and had a 2-game series with Texas as well. I know it's more travel, but that sucks. It's unfair, damn it. Especially during a pandemic and a hurricane. Which missed us.
It missed us, but it seemed like everybody, once they got their mindset on hurricane mode, they're like, well, we're taking these. Everything that had planned on closing down, instead of saying, you know what, we're not going to be closed down now, they said, well, too late now.
Yeah.
Thursday, we're off.
No. And I was going to go to the Harris County tax office, and they said, on Wednesday at noon, we're done. We're closing down, and then Thursday not open.
Everybody that worked for the city, and I think there was an operation shutdown, and they just didn't. Now that the hurricane's not coming, or nope. But it didn't even hit us. Well, too bad.
Too bad. We're still shut down.
We had our mindset on Thursday being a hurricane day, so no.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, I'm hoping that the A's are actually here, because I'm sure that they were thinking, we ain't going to come in. We ain't going in. We're just checking out. That's all. We're not going to do that. We'll probably just end up playing all the games in Oakland. But no, come here. Let's see. Big weekend. McCullers gets to start tonight. Greinke tomorrow. Valdez. Is that the best three? Certainly, Bielak is out. Is there anybody you'd rather have Christian Javier start? Would you rather four? No.
It's pretty straightforward right now. It's McCullers and Fromber, your top two. Javier and
Greinke's your top.
Well, I mean Greinke, yeah, Greinke. Then it's Greinke one, and then the next tier is McCullers. Really, next tier is almost Fromber, and then I know McCullers ERA. McCullers just can be feast or famine, but it's McCullers three to me right now. If you want to talk about performance. And then Javier. Javier's been okay.
No, he's been good.
And then,
he's had a couple of blow-ups, too.
And then nobody.
Yeah.
And then nobody.
Well, Bielak has been.
Yeah.
He was good for, and then all of a sudden, yeah, bam, bam, bam. Slap, slap, slap.
Yeah. I guess Urquidy's just done for the year. You heard anything? Anything new
nothing,
on Urquidy?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. It's just, it's unbelievable.
How bad was he ravaged by COVID?
Well, are we sure it was COVID?
He never admitted to it.
No.
I don't know what it was.
No one knows. No one knows. No one knows what it is. Big series starting tonight. 8-10 tonight, okay. 6-10, and then 1-10.
So here's the latest. The latest was 4 days ago. Dusty Baker on Sunday said he's hopeful that Urquidy, undisclosed, will be able to join the Astros in Houston this week to continue working out. So... after a member of the Astros alternate group at the alternate training site recently tested positive for COVID, the organization shut down workouts, and Urquidy may have missed out on some throwing sessions as a result of the shutdown. See, this has been one of the toughest things is the flow of information is very inconsistent with COVID. We just don't get we don't know. In a regular year, we know exactly what's going on with Urquidy. What, I mean, number one, if it's COVID, you wouldn't have COVID in a regular year. But you would know. Right now, it's like it's believed that he may have missed out on some throwing sessions, but there's just not a flow of information right now. So it's really we just don't know. Baker intimated the right-hander's nearing a return from the 10-day injured list, though the club is still unwilling to issue a target date for his reinstatement. Probably he's coming back with Verlander. They probably want to do it 1-2 right at the same time. Verlander or Urquidy at the same time. Assuming MLB allows Urquidy, Devo, and Diaz to report to Houston this week, another update on where exactly a 25-year-old stands should come within the next few days. But I don't know that that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just counting on, look, I'm going to watch it, play it out, get into the playoffs, do whatever, and then figure it out after that. But I'm not expecting at this point now. You're halfway through the season. Maybe I think Urquidy could still come back and do something towards the end of the year. Maybe you hyper focus everything on the playoffs. Maybe Justin Verlander says, you know what, this may require surgery, but I can technically pitch through this. If I have surgery this year, you know, next year's over for me, and why even come back after that? What about Justin Verlander? Maybe just pointing towards the playoffs and saying, this is my last hurrah. I'll pitch through it. I'll get a surgery after this, and then I'll be done. Is there a chance that he could be doing that?
Yeah.
Just saving it for the postseason? McCullers pitched through an injury before he had his. You know,
well, we've seen video of Verlander throwing. I don't know. At his age with this now, I mean, is it?
Once again, maybe I shouldn't be assuming that the initial report by Chandler Rome was right, but we haven't seen. I mean, it sure feels like he's right. They just won't give a confirmation.
Yeah.
There is no timetable for Justin.
Well, we've seen Verlander. I mean, it's not like they shut it down and he's, you know, now he's going to start.
Table.
No.
It was supposed to be 2 weeks.
Well, I guess he's trying to work through it, but they, you know, whatever.
They said 2 weeks, right? And they would reassess.
Well, the one thing that you know, Chandler Rome said he's done. And he's done for the season, but Verlander's out throwing. So, you know, he's at least trying. He may be right in the long run.
Do you know when that came out, that article, he'll be out for the year? You know what day that came out?
was it like 3 days after he pitched his first game?
It's July 27th.
Which was how long after his start?
It was like 3 days.
Yeah.
It's July 27th. So we're now officially a month after. They said it'd be 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Now we're a month in, and there's no timetable.
No, but we've seen, again, we've seen him throwing, though.
We've seen him throwing, but yeah, there's no.
Right.
Where's the articles that says Justin Verlander's working back and is expected back within the next 10 days?
There is none.
There's nothing.
There's none.
Yeah, I see him throwing. That's what makes me wonder, okay, you know what? Maybe Justin Verlander wants to keep it strong and make a decision about whether or not he wants to give it a go in the playoffs. Maybe he doesn't need Tommy John surgery or isn't out for the year, but he doesn't want to take a chance. And so maybe he is going to gear up for the end of the year. Maybe Urquidy. Maybe they're trying to point him in the direction of a postseason. All of a sudden you get into the postseason and you got Urquidy, Verlander, you know, McCullers, Greinke, or Fromber.
Well, hey, Jay Kaplan wrote an article today about Fromber. Is this the new Fromber, or is this some kind of a? Here's what he's. Oh gosh, doggone.
Well, his strikeouts to walks are unlike anything he's ever had.
Yeah. Well, is this a transformation, or is this just an aberration?
That's third year. It's transformation year.
Fromber Valdez has gone from erratic swing man to performing like one of the 10 best starters in the AL. Is this just a great month long run or an actual transformation?
I think he's. This is his third year in the league. You get better as you get older. I think he's figuring it out. I think he and Fromm have kind of, Fromm have kind of figured something out.
Well, I like to call him Strom
Fromm. I call him Strom Fromm. And I think they've gotten something figured out because he's like, there's a big difference when you're just getting guys out versus now all of a sudden your strikeout to walk looks completely different than it has the first 2 years. That means something's gotten figured out either mechanically or with his approach, but probably mechanically. But something has happened where he's throwing strikes now. I don't think that's just a lucky run. I think he's got something. Look at him. He's good. He's striking people out. He's not walking people. He's got command. They got something fixed. I think there's reason to be excited about Fromber being a real pitcher for the Astros.
728 ESPN 9729 now. 713-780-3776. You know who's a real car dealer? Craig DeSerf.
Oh, man. Love him. Go to LandZCars.com, and these are not my cars, but these are the cars that I like to hype up and speak for because, nice vehicle. I went there right now. Inventory search. I see they got some new font on the front page. Inventory search is now shows 140 vehicles. So they got 7 more vehicles in. And see, that's what's happening. You're starting to have vehicles trickle back into dealerships, and the same thing is happening with Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. And they've got all kinds of offers going on. You can go see what their new programs look like by going to LanceZCars.com. And they've got, they recommend you get your scheduled maintenance done during the summer so that you take care of yourself, especially because we need our air conditioner for longer. So if you have an older car, they'll certainly take a look at that for you. But keep in mind, when you purchase vehicles from Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC, they've got huge dealer cashback offers going on right now for a variety of vehicles in stock. You're going to get the most competitive pricing, but it doesn't stop there. They're going to go above and beyond with offers for your trade-in vehicle so that you get that helps you get a lower price on your car you're purchasing. And of course, when it comes to customer service, their CSI, Customer Service Index rating, is always the highest in the Houston area. They'll even deliver your vehicle right to your doorstep here in the Houston area. Head on out to Angleton or shop online, Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. Go to LanceZCars.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, Art, stop being a jerk. I never thought for my birthday, well, if you weren't here, John Clay Wolf had sombreros on, mariachi music, and eating Mexican food for his birthday breakfast.
He also said they had mustaches. There's no way they were all wearing mustaches, were they?
Are you sure?
I'm not 100%
John Clay Wolf?
I didn't even want to delve deeper into, like, why? Now, what's this? Now, hold on. What now?
I don't.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine that's a zany house that he lives in. I'm pretty. I would imagine that. I've never thought for my birthday, Art says. Let's act like Whitey. Let's call each other Ethan and Dakota and eat seasonless food. We eat spicy food, Art. White people, right, Dal? We eat spicy food.
Why are you asking me? I'm not white, and I don't live with white people, so I don't know.
Well, you speak the Queen's English, but, and you eat spicy food.
But I'm not white, so it's a bit of a dichotomy for you.
A little bit, kind
of. No, don't say that. No, I'm not at all. Thank you. I can tell you I'm not.
Just saying.
I eat spicy food, but I'm not white, so you got to go to your white brethren there and ask him.
I eat spicy food. I made my mother-in-law tap out with the food I got from Mala Sichuan, which I didn't think it was that hot, but she did.
Meemaw?
Mimi.
Oh, Mimi.
Meemaw is what...
That's what Czech I call
people.
Her.
Czech people call Meemaw. Their grandmas Meemaws.
Is Meemaw still in the house?
Mimi.
Mimi.
Yeah.
Mimi's still in the house. Not Meemaw.
Does Mimi have a departure date?
It's undetermined at this juncture. My wife says so. We'll find out. I don't know. What's your concern with my household, Del?
Your wife says so? Is there a date, or is she just saying she's going to leave at
Mimi's
some point?
Mimi's delightful. You know what Mimi does? She rolls up with extra, like, she's like, oh, I got this extra vodka.
Well,
look at you.
Extra vodka? Wait a minute. I got some for me, and then here's a little bit for you?
Yeah, so that's nice. Some for everybody.
That's all.
She'll bring, Lance, I got, look at all this. Like, she'll bring stuff that I shouldn't. Look at all these, a sack of conchas, like 17 or 18 conchas. Churros, conchas. Like, I don't need this in my life right now.
Yeah, you do. Everybody needs a. Well, I mean, John Clay Wolf has got it in his life right now. I'm sure they got churros and conchas.
Does Mimi bring fake mustaches and sombreros with her as well?
No, she does not.
Have parties like John Clay Wolf does?
She does not. She does not have parties like that.
It is a point to be made that Art, as much as Art is being Art, he does make a point. I mean, I'm just going to tell you. I know I may speak the Queen's English, as you say, but black people don't go, you know what I'm going to do? How most can I look like a white person for this party?
Except for the movie White Girls,
which is
when the Wayans brothers did that.
Yeah,
that
yeah. What about Whiteface?
That was unusual. That was an unusual choice.
What about Whiteface?
And by the way, their careers really...
We got to put an end to that. Whiteface.
I don't think many people are doing it now.
Yeah, I don't think it's hot.
Well, the Wayans brothers need to be canceled, okay?
That was like 20 years ago.
So?
So
was Jimmy Kimmel.
Okay, so do you
think... He's been canceled.
No, he's around.
He just stepped away.
He's kind of hiding out,
I think.
I think he's just hiding out.
Do you... this guy named JD says, isn't it funny that when the NBA players found out... if they didn't finish the season, they would have to take a 25 to 30% pay cut. Then they decided to return. I guess player salaries matter more than Black Lives Matter. Such a righteous bunch of activists. I think, and the only reason I even read that out loud is there is a financial, it's interesting that people go so much either this, either that. Like everything is binary.
Yeah.
When the reality is, yeah, there's both. I think you want to do right by what your moral compass is in this particular instance, whether you as a listener, me, you, whoever, believe it's righteous or whatever, if somebody feels that way, they feel that way, whether you think it's right or not, or whether you question the validity of it or not. But there also is the fact that they only came back because, I shouldn't say they only came back, one of the big reasons they came back is because if they didn't finish the season, and it was possible to finish the season, the NBA owners can basically roll back. Well, number one, it would hurt basketball revenue, the share of basketball revenue, basketball-related income, BRI. The other thing is they could roll back the deal that they had in place and go to a lockout and create a new deal. You know, both can be a factor. It doesn't just mean one or the other. Both things can be a factor. And I think, and I don't know that the entire NBA was looking at canceling the season. The Lakers and Clippers were, and let's also be honest about this. I think people make some pretty rash decisions quickly. They're like, that's it.
What do you mean LeBron wasn't going to play if there were no fans? Remember?
Yeah, LeBron needs to slow down on
And he does. He makes rash decisions and rest. And then he says that. And then you have to walk it back.
But if there wasn't Twitter, you wouldn't have to walk everything back.
No, that's true. But there is Twitter. So here's the deal, too. And by the way, you're right. The word was that the Lakers and Clippers had voted. That not everybody on the Clippers and Lakers, but the majority of Lakers and Clippers.
Chris Paul was a big one.
They didn't want to play. So they said they were going to cancel. But here's the deal is the majority of guys aren't LeBron or Chris Paul or James Harden. They don't have their bag yet. So
they're never going to get it.
No. Hey, this is my life. I'm the eighth man, ninth man on this team or whatever. In a lot of cases, like Tyson Chandler, you already got your back. But, you know, there's a lot of guys that are going, hey, wait a minute, guys. Yeah, it's easy for you guys to do that, to do this, because you got your bag already. I need to make this money. This may be the last time I play in the league, and a lot for a lot of the guys.
Well, your however many guys last are there, 8 years.
Well, maybe not everybody does.
Yeah.
Now, some guys are borderline guys.
What I mean is then you, like, you're making everything for the rest of your life in that time frame? Maybe, maybe not. But
no, but this is the biggest earning time you have.
It can be. My point is, and you agree with it, you obviously agree with it.
Yeah.
It can be both.
It can be. And oh, by the way, and I don't blame them for it. Hey, now it's not as bad as Brian Urlacher went out on a limb. He said, he pre-tweeted out or Instagram, whatever, that Brett Favre played when his dad died, and these guys don't even know Jacob Blake, and they're sitting out and they're postponing games. Well, Brett Favre played, and he threw 4 touchdown passes when his dad died, and that was, you know, and he was brave to do that. It can fall somewhere in between. You could have empathy for Jacob Blake, and you could have empathy for the social justice and injustice and everything else, but you could also say, I want to play. I mean, and by the way, what kind of impact are we having by not playing? You can question that. You can actually question that.
Oh, yeah, I think all of it's up for debate. I mean, are you really making – because Michael Jordan, you know, supposedly Michael Jordan's one of the ones who helped kind of save – he was the liaison between the owners, because he's the only black majority owner of a small market team. And then he reached out to Chris Paul and then for some reason Russell Westbrook, which I thought was strange. Like, hey, Russell, it's me, MJ. I want to get your thoughts on some of the social injustices. I don't know why that seems so strange. I mean, Chris Paul, like, oh, yeah, Players Association, outspoken, very, you know, respected guy. And then the guy who wears glasses with no lenses. And and then that's like saying, you know, we wanted to take a temperature of football. So, you know, we talked to Tom Brady and then Clowney. That's not even on a team. He's not even. Well,
but Russ was the one who met with Chris Paul.
Yeah, and decided not to play.
They were the two that met.
I know, but that's
it does seem.
But that's what seems strange is to reach out to those two.
Who was it that last week said that Russell Westbrook is the best teammate I've ever had?
Probably James.
No, it wasn't James. It was somebody on the team. I don't know if it was Covington or whomever, or maybe it was PJ. And PJ's been in a lot of places.
Now,
I forget
PJ
who it was.
Would carry some weight if
yeah.
PJ said it.
Yeah, I forget who it was, but he said Russell Westbrook
Austin
is the
– Rivers.
Austin Rivers.
Yes.
Said he is the best teammate that I've ever had. I think he might be more respected than we think.
Yeah, I think we got to get out of our head because we take our shots of – it's fun to take shots of our Carmelo, but everyone loves Carmelo
in
the
league. Yeah, they do.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised that Russell Westbrook, despite some of the things we feel from the outside,
are like –
he's crazy
dumb stuff on the court. But, yeah, I think he is probably pretty respected. It just sounds strange to go to Russell Westbrook as a guy who is in the middle of this, but maybe he is. But I know this. They say MJ stepped in and was talking to him, and here, let me pull up the article exactly what was said.
Oh, and by the way, Austin Rivers isn't the only guy. You just type in Russell Westbrook, best teammate I've ever had. Enes Kanter said the same thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, then they don't judge the book by its cover.
I'm hearing so many people, though, and we had this discussion yesterday, and I don't care what they think. You know what? Just shut up and dribble. It's the shut up and dribble thing. Just dribble. I don't care what they think politically about and all this, and actors and athletes. Who cares what you think? You're just famous. And I was like, yeah, but wasn't Ronald Reagan an actor? Wasn't Arnold Schwarzenegger an actor? Wasn't Bill Bradley? When the Republicans,
Jesse the Body Ventura.
When the Republicans, it's okay, but when they're Democrats, we don't want to hear what they have to say.
Stay consistent.
Pretty much.
Stay consistent.
I mean, isn't the guy? I don't know who you're talking to, but isn't the man who currently holds the most powerful office in this country.
He was a reality show.
Reality show, right.
Man, but do you care what he has to say? I imagine you might.
Yeah, but he was a businessman before. The other guys were just actors.
No background, but the fact is he had no background in politics.
No.
It's a thing we talk about consistently, but everyone wants people to be in one lane or the other. But if I said, if I said, hey, you're a pretty simple person, right? You're either this or that. You don't have any complexity. He probably would be offended by that particular statement. Hey, you're either this or that. But when we talk about our athletes, it's like, well, you have to be the perfect activist. You can't have concerns about your money. And if you don't say anything about China, right, that means what you say here is hypocritical.
Well, it's,
we're not perfect. No one's gonna fit your box of what the perfect activist or athlete should be, because they're human.
And it's so funny that, I mean, last week Biden, we have to defund the police department. This is wrong. This is horrible. This is terrible. What the police are doing. Last night, this is terrible. What the rioters are doing. This is terrible. We got to stop this rioting. How about, most Americans are like, we got to stop the police from killing, and we have to stop the riots too.
Yeah.
That's what most Americans are.
Isn't it?
We need to stop the police majority, killing blacks, and we need to stop rioting.
The silent majority is actually much smarter than we get so caught up in kind of crazy fringe people that we think the whole world is like that. And the reality is, like,
crazy fringe people, smart, like our candidates for president.
But smart people. Hold on a second. Smart people don't want, they see police video. They see the videos that we've all seen and think, what in the world is going on here? And then they also say, wait a minute. I don't want to abolish police. I want to actually get them trained differently. I had a good conversation yesterday with a friend of mine who, you know, is black. And we were talking about some of the stuff going on now. And he's like, dude, not only do I not want to defund the police, he goes, I'm fine with paying them more. He goes, now, you get more, there's more responsibility, and there's more accountability. He said, your training also is going to be completely different.
I think that's
you're also going to have 2 years of mental where, like,
that's what no one is talking about.
Complete overhaul needs to be done.
Let's train better. That's what we need. We need better training. 745 ESPN, 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I think people generally just don't want to hear famous people's political opinions. If they run for office, it's different at that point for whatever reason. Bill Bradley was a Democrat and respected because he ran and got elected. Oh. Yeah.
Well, politicians.
Bill Bradley just looked like a Republican to me. Okay.
Well, but politicians were generally more respected back in the day. You're respected if you're on my team, and you're hated if you're on the other team. So that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
These famous
pretty cool
people,
what we got going on in this country. Right?
Yeah,
it's
have
a cool
a platform to say things. I would say, if I addressed you, whoever tweeted that at you, well, you do this for a living, so I don't care what you have to say about things. I really don't want to hear your opinion on anything. I mean, would that stop you from voicing your opinion?
No.
No. So,
and here's the deal. They have a voice, and because they're famous. And so if you use it and you feel socially that you have a social conscience, then you should.
But here's the thing.
And if people don't want to hear it, then they don't have to hear it. Then don't hear it.
There are easy ways not to hear what LeBron has to say. You don't have to listen to – you can just watch the games because he can't talk during the games.
And the same thing goes for – and look. If people get turned off by the mixing of politics and sports, then athletes will have to live with that the same way other people have had to live with it, where if the ratings go down or attendance or whatever, I think some of that stuff gets overplayed personally. But, if there's something to be said, I think them speaking their mind is probably more important to them than if they lose some basketball fans or fans who say they were formerly fans. But I get it. I get that a lot of people don't want to mix their politics and that sports is their way to get away from that. But I got news for you. That's over. Like the days of you escaping the quote unquote real world through sports, those days are over and they're not coming back. So don't expect that to come back. Now, we may have more cohesive political times in our life where it's not as big of a factor or a worry. But I think the idea of players who now are growing up as brands when they're 11 years old and 12 years old, when they are cultivating social media followings from a very early time, they had that platform. I think the idea that you're not going to see thoughts and politics and things of that nature from your athletes, this is not going to be the 80s and 90s anymore. That's long gone. You're not going to see that anymore.
Yeah, it's gone from being a rare thing where people are taken aback by it to you can watch what's happening in college football. How many teams decided yesterday we're not practicing? As they're getting prepared for the year, you know what their administrators and coaches said? We're with you. That's the way it is now. You're not going to be able to tell an athlete, even on the college level, when this is the subject matter, that we're not going to listen to you anymore.
Right. At some point, there may be a collision where the line blurs, or they say, okay, this is too much. And I'm not obviously talking about the Jacob Blake issue. I'm talking about, down the road where, like, they are going to stand strong against any type of unionizing. College athletics, especially for a group that it's by nature a transient group. You're there for a certain amount of years. They're not going to do that, and I think it makes it even less likely that they'll ever see any type of unionization in the short term, because this coronavirus is going to smash athletic programs. So the idea of giving away any of the money that they're going to need after having, like in Wisconsin's case, what is it? Iowa's case. They're going to be in the hole $50 to $60 million this year because of pandemic and not playing football. They're going to be working out of a deficit for a while. So I don't think you're going to see college programs looking to, go to an NFL or go to a pro style model of sharing revenue. That's never what the Pac-12 said is never, ever going to happen. That's just not going to happen unless it becomes like a Big Three conference or Big Four conference situation to where it really is a professional league where these are the big ones and there's no, and this is completely separate. These four conferences, these mega conferences are completely separate from, from the rest of college athletics. Then you basically are dealing with the pro league. And if that's going to be the case, I would rather see the XFL take off and be the pro option for guys who don't want to go to college. Then the NFL could say, okay, look, we're never going to go to 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds. Physically, they just aren't ready. I mean, most are not ready. And you can't make allowances and exceptions for certain guys. You have to have uniformity. But if the XFL said, well, we'll take on that, I think you still have the same concerns about guys not being physically ready to play against some grown men. However, maybe you get some of the professionalization of college sports out of it and you roll it into a secondary league that builds up players and it's a true developmental league and you can get back to a more amateurish way of looking at things through college football, which would also mean college coaches aren't getting paid. This is a ridiculous amount of money that college coaches get paid right now. I mean, $10 million a year for a college football coach for when colleges are about tuition. And then, it makes it easy for people to say, well, tuitions don't matter. These athletes getting paid, tuitions don't matter. I thought that back when we were first doing radio, when tuitions were a lot lower. Now that I got to send kids to school, it's funny how my thoughts have changed where I'm looking at, holy crap. I mean, state universities cost a ton to send. I don't think that paying $100,000 plus is not nothing for someone to get a free scholarship for 5 years. That's not nothing when you have to pay that. When you don't have to pay tuition, it's like, oh, tuition is nothing for these players. Well, I mean, they're not taxed on it.
Wait, you got a bunch coming your way.
I know. I'm hoping they all just like, you know what's really a great move?
Mechanic school.
Let's go community. Let's learn a trade. I ducked it with Drake. Like, he went to, and he got an EMT degree early on, and now he's working to be a paramedic, but which is great, you know. I've paid for all that stuff, but yeah, it's the tuition thing has become tough. Getting into a college is really hard now. It's a lot harder than it used to be.
Yeah.
That's the college of your choice, I should say.
Yeah.
It's become harder.
No, it's
state going, colleges especially.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we're going to A&M in Texas right now. Yeah. I mean I know Snacks will get there because he's gonna be top 4-5 percentile.
Nope. He's already out. He's already out. My kids are already out.
Texas State, here we come.
My wife would rather go U of H.
Yeah. That'd be great. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
U of H is a good school.
Yeah, it's a great school. Dr. Couture, superstar.
How much does seminary school cost?
I don't know, but I don't think they're feeling
that.
They
don't pay. They don't pay.
Snacks ain't going to college. He's going to go to wrestling school.
Monty's going to a nunnery.
Well, that's not her plan. Her plan, that's down the road. She's got to go to Olympic swimming.
She's going to be an Olympic swimmer, and then she'll be a nun?
No, and then Broadway.
And then
she's opening up her own bakery, and then nun.
And then nun?
Yeah. I'm like, wow.
It's a little late to be a nun.
34-year-old nun.
Well, okay. Monty.
It's your choice. Whatever.
Well, Ed Fowler did it, right? Late?
Yeah. Ed Fowler went to, he went to priest.
Well, he was doing missions for a while, and then he became a priest, right?
JT's doing missions.
Yeah. No. Well. Yeah.
Your son's done missions.
Yeah.
Your son's kind of like Tim Tebow, only
he might become
pocket quarterback. Pocket passing Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
Not as much of a market for that.
No, there wasn't nearly as much of a market for JT as Tim Tebow. Yeah. 756 ESPN 97.5. Let's see. Let's get Chuck in here quick. It's Friday. It's a holiday show, AJ. What do you say, Chuck?
Hey, how's it going? First-time caller, long-time listener.
Oh, we appreciate it, man.
Yeah, I love the show. I hear Lance talk about college athletes all the time, and I have two brothers that are college athletes, and I hear his point with the tuition, but I think a lot of people forget that with the demand of, like, being a college athlete, you don't really get to choose the field that you really want to be in. Like, a lot of the coaches want you to, like, choose communications, and you don't really get to, like, pick curriculums that are going to really, you know, help you in the future if you don't become an athlete. So it really, like, it's 5 years or something that you end up using to, you know, go to an enterprise or car dealership. So in the end, like, you really don't get the full benefit of the tuition. So I know, like, a lot of the athletes that do go pros, you know, or they don't have to use the tuition, you know, that's not bad for them. But there's a lot of lower college athletes that, you know, don't have a future of being a pro. And, you know, it's because of the demand. They don't get, like, the flexibility like other college students.
Well, so now, wait a minute. I just went through this. I would wholeheartedly disagree, yeah. Chuck. I mean, JT went to Rice is different, but you get to pick what he went to a smaller school. It was a much bigger school in Missouri State, but you choose your own.
That may be a rare instance where if they're trying to keep maybe guys they eligible.
Thought maybe they thought listen I'm just this is if you want to get through school. This is the best route for you, but you get to choose what major you want.
I go through everybody. I got through 500 players a year, and I look at the academics. And they have graduation. And I'm telling you, there's way more guys. I'm always impressed. I mean, yeah, you'll see kinesiology. You'll see
sociology.
Yeah, criminology.
Sociology.
You'll see that. You definitely will see that from time to time. But there's also guys taking in electrical engineering. Yeah. There's also guys taking. So that's not that. That's actually, I don't think that's very accurate for most. And you can choose. Look, if you go to a university and they say, well, you're going to have to take this class load. Well, then don't. Then go to a different school. Whoever's recruiting you. That is not something that I can tell you from the coaches and players and that I've talked to over the years. If you have a situation like that, they either A, they don't think you're going to be able to get through, and they're trying to keep you eligible, Or B, you can always go somewhere else. But I see players every year, 500 a year. A lot of them haven't graduated, but the ones who have graduated early a lot of times, it's definitely not. Or 5-year players?
No, that's inaccurate, Chuck. That's just inaccurate. You can choose. Or you can now.
Like that's
now a coach will tell you. Now, and I've heard a story about at a Louisiana school just a couple of weeks ago of a kid who he's basically not going to play this year because he had to go to a lab on Tuesdays, and so he was like, "Hey, coach, I gotta go to this lab for my degree." And coach was like, "Well, great, then you're never going to play here."
When that happens, and I don't doubt that Chuck is, I don't doubt that Chuck's not saying something from, you know, personal experience or whatever. I'm just saying that's not the norm
where
coaches say, listen, you're not going to get you have to go work at Enterprise later because you're not going to be able to take the classes you want to take. No one, all you would have to do is go one time. You could go to one counselor and that would get changed. But now I'm not doubting that sometimes it could be tougher if you've got a certain course load with a certain class that goes at a certain time.
Absolutely.
I'm sure there's some instances where that's happened. Absolutely.
Yep. Hey, you can go to real estate school too. Well, if you get your real estate certificate, I believe they're called, or whatever they are, and you want to work someplace, well, Lance Loken, he told me a couple weeks ago, he said, "I got jobs, John. Tell people if they want to apply, go to thelokengroup.com. That's LOKEN, thelokengroup.com. The Loken Group at Keller Williams Platinum, awesome. They're number one in the state of Texas, number one in the U.S., number two in the world. That's how big they are in Keller Williams. Listen, there's instances. I got Jeremy had 8 showings on the house and an offer of $2,000 over the list price, just 3 days on the market. This is happening all the time. And of course, there's also the immediate cash offer that Lance Loken will offer you. If you don't want to go through all the rigmarole, then that's fine. You know what he'll do? Here, I'll buy your house right now for this. Done. Okay. When can I start moving? Right away. And listen, it's person after person after person that will give you the testimony of how great Lance Loken is. I will tell you this as well. Great guy. You will love doing business with Lance Loken. He's got so many guarantees. He's going to guarantee you that he will sell your home. 281-861-4624. You got to sell your house. This is a great time to do it too. There's a bunch of buyers out there. 281-861-4624 or thelokengroup.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness. Award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.